Father in heaven, we thank you again for the day, and we thank you for this book. Lord, it's a precious book, and it tells us about the precious Savior who shed his precious blood that we might have eternal life. And I pray tonight that it help us grow a little bit more to get a vision of what you've said about leaving this life and what is the difference between those who know Christ as Savior as their destiny and those who don't know Christ as their Savior, their destiny. And we thank you for that. Understanding ours in Jesus Christ is better than anything we've ever seen in this world. Eyes not seen, ears not heard, neither in the heart of man what God has prepared for them that love him. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Now, go back with me in John chapter 11, and we see in verse 4, and I want to read that again because it's very important to get this thought in our mind. So when Jesus heard that, heard what? He just got word from Martha and Mary that Lazarus, the friend he loved, family he loved, had died. And when he heard that, he said this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. And we said, start with probably when you see that or heard that. If you'd hear someone say, this sickness is not unto death, you think they're not going to die. Would you at least say amen to that? If you hear someone say like this, and Jesus said to the disciples, in this case, he said, this sickness is not unto death. But he did clarify it and say there's another reason for this now, and that is, notice he said, it's for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. They didn't understand that what God was going to do or what Christ was going to do would be much far better than just healing Lazarus. Martha sent for him to come. And we said a couple weeks ago, he could have healed him from where he was at. He didn't have to go. Distance has no problem with what God can do or cannot do. But he was delaying for a purpose to in turn to show that whatever one may be asking God to do, God the Son or God the Father or even the Holy Spirit, that he can give something much better. I'm sure Martha and Mary would have been very pleased, as they were when he raised Lazarus. They were very happy. But they had no thought about that. They thought that if they could get Christ there, that he would heal him so he wouldn't have to die. That's the whole thing. But Christ delayed 4 days going. And because of that, he died. And there we find Mary and Martha seeing the things were hope. I don't know if they really look at him. Probably they said if it had been like us, well, there's no use to him come now. But he comes anyhow. Why? Because he's saying that which is going to happen is for the glory of God. And in this case, God will get more glory out of raising Lazarus from the dead than healing his sickness. And so, aren't you glad to know that God sees things we don't see? Could it be, ladies and gentlemen, that God will not answer our prayers sometimes because he sees another answer that would be much better? I'll tell you, behind the scene, the child of God reads things like this, and you'll find that there's things that there God lets us know that God is always involved with our lives, and he loves us enough that sometimes when he can't say yes, he has to say no. He's saying no because the yes is going to be better when you get it. And this is what you see here. In other words, it'd been easy for him to be healed, and if he'd have healed him, probably someone would have said he'd got well or anyhow. And in our day, we'd probably say, well, they had some medicine already done it. A lot of people don't see the healing power of God at all today because there's so many miracles with the medicine age we're living in. On the other hand, all that you do is some have been dead, buried 4 days. In fact, they said he stinketh. So as I see this tonight, we know this whole event is something that lets us understand that this was for the glory of God. So I'm going to go back, and I said last week, we're going to talk about two principles mainly, and that's it tonight. The principles that follow what Jesus said here. First of all, resurrection and the resurrection in the life is found in Jesus Christ himself. Not what he can do, but what he is, who he is. And who he is can cause him, he has the power to do what he did. So he's wanting them to know this is not just something that's given to the fact to raise someone from the dead physically. He is the resurrection and the life, and by showing this and by saying what he did to Martha, you're going to see that he's letting us know we have something in us that's surety. That is the resurrection of life. If you're not, you and I are saved, we have the resurrection of life in us. So that gives me the second principle. And that principle is simple this, that because he is the resurrection and the life, I have a hope. Not like the world. Because he is the resurrection and the life, my hope is surety. And that is the fact. When this body dies, it's going back to the grave, but saying, or going back to the dust, but the creation in us is going to go be with the Lord. So he said this, he said I, and then we said it like a couple weeks ago, it emphasized a double I, it's I, even I, am the resurrection and the life. So this first lesson that we look at, we're looking at the resurrection. There is no hope for resurrection. There is no hope for victory over death without Jesus Christ. He's the only one that shows he can do it, and he's the only one that God says we have the victory. Those outside of Christ are going to die the physical life and then die the second death, which is eternal death. Those in Jesus Christ are going to live with him forever when they leave this body, because not only can he raise from the dead, he is the resurrection and the life. And that gives me something that the world just can't understand. By the way, you and I couldn't either. We didn't have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit bears witness to us about some things, the truth that they look like as well out of our mind. And so apart from Jesus Christ, there's not any hope at all about the resurrection. So Jesus Christ is much more than just resurrecting someone. He said that he is the resurrection of life, and the dead man Lazarus could not come from that grave without his powerful words being the words to raise him from the dead. Now, Jesus could speak life to Lazarus, physical dead tabernacle. Now, get this. Isn't it amazing that he can go perform a deed that man can see? And in that physical deed that he sees about giving life to a dead man, who now don't even understand, people don't know what happened afterwards, it's not that the Israelites didn't know there's going to come a resurrection. Because Martha said, we know that in the end there's going to be a resurrection, Lord, but this is something different now. But I know if you do, I know God can give you what you asked him to do. Well, God could, but he is God also. And so what he's saying, that when he's given us this great information, is that in the resurrection of the dead, he's showing us that there's another side, since he is the resurrection and the life, that when the Holy Spirit brings that glorious gospel to us, we're dead spiritually. We have not spiritual life. And the Holy Spirit has to quicken our hearts when we trust Christ as Savior through the Word of God. And so not only can he raise, and this is what we see in this resurrection with Lazarus, not only can he raise Lazarus from the dead physically, he also can raise the dead Christian, unsaved Christian, spiritually. And that same resurrection power is in us to guarantee the supreme payment up front, to in turn that when we leave these bodies, that we're going to be with the Lord. Just as much so as when Christ called Lazarus, come forth, he come from that grave, probably hopping out, and he said, loose him, let him go. But he came to Christ from the voice of Lazarus, come forth. One day, the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God's going to sound, and we're going to arise in a glorified body to live with him forever. So in that resurrection of the dead, we're seeing the resurrection of new life in an individual's heart too. Why? Because not only can he raise the dead, he is the resurrection to life. You and I who are saved today are saved because he is the resurrection to life. It is not us, it's him. And he's done that for us. So it's a glorious thing to see as we look at this wonderful truth. So the Apostle John was an eyewitness of these events. He wrote later, look with me if we will, in John chapter, 1 John chapter 5, and let's put some things together real quick like. He wrote later about this in a way probably he didn't understand it when he tried to teach it here. Look with me in 1 John chapter 5, and you remember in these few verses if you look in John 5, 11 through 12 to begin with, and John said, and this is the record. How did he know about this now? You got to keep in mind, this is a little later when John is more mature now than he was when he met Christ in the gospel. John went in the gospels. I mean, he was kind of not knowing a lot of things, but now he's been with Christ. He's seen him raised from the dead. He has been given by the Holy Spirit to write about it. And he's given that which he knew now before they were a little, you know, off sometimes. One of them could be against something that they should be for, and all of a sudden, the rest of them would go with that person because it didn't make sense in the eyes of the flesh. But on the other hand, you see, now he's talking about that this is what happened. This is the record that God had given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that had the Son had life. He that had not the Son of God had not life. That's simple. He made a simple statement then. He had a hard time when in John, when you find him being called in as one of the disciples. And yet now he said, just simple. If you have the Son, you have life. If you don't have the Son, you don't have life. I mean, a little child can understand that. He may have to ask it 25 times, but it's something that's simple enough that can be given to understand. And he said, he that the Son hath life, and he that hath not Son hath not life. These things I write unto you, that ye believe in the name of the only begotten Son, and that ye may that ye believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe in the name of the Son of God. Now, go back to John chapter 1 with me, 1 John chapter 1 with me just a moment. And let's see how the Holy Spirit leads now. We're talking about a number of years before this. If you look at this, probably if you go back to John chapter 11 when he's talking to Mary, or talking to Martha here, and then later to Mary, you're going to find from that day to when he wrote 1 John, he's got about 57 years now that he's grown. And he's telling not only what he saw, but now how the fact is what he saw, he understands it. And the Holy Spirit's given him the ability to write this. And so 1 John starts out, he starts like this. He said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, he said, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled of the word of life. He said, hey, first time he met Christ, he didn't know this. But 3.5 years now, walking with Christ, he still didn't grasp it all because even John was the only one that stood at at Calvary, but he didn't understand what was going on then. He had to wait. That's when Jesus said, you're going to have to wait till the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And later he told him in the resurrected form, go back to Jerusalem, wait there for it. So he can help you put all the dots together to understand what's going on. And what I've said 3.5 years, he'll bring back to your mind. And they didn't know then, but he's going to use you to write his word down. That very word that he tells us about here, about the record of God's Son, what happened here. He's going to give him that ability to do just that by inspiration. In other words, and this is the record. He's writing the record down. He said, I've seen all of this. And he goes on, and I love this quote. He gives a great assurance. He said, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it. Hey, we walk with him, and we have seen him. By the way, we haven't seen him with our physical eyes, but because he's the resurrection and the life, we've seen him by faith. It's greater, because you can see things by faith that's much more greater than what you see with a physical eye. But you trust Christ. Because I want to tell you, what he says about heaven is a lot greater than what's here. So it tells me right there, but it's not because of who we are, but it's because he makes us, because he is the resurrection of life. So what he's telling us about the future is much better than what we want here. Why? Because he's the resurrection of life, and we have that. And he says this. He went on, he said, for the life was manifest again as we've seen it, and bear witness, and shown you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifest unto us. Now, Jesus was that there, though he's the Son of God. But now he's manifesting to us by coming into Mary's womb. We could go through the channel. Now, verse 3. He said, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Folks, I don't understand in this world how anyone can say they're a child of God, a Christian, and leave Jesus Christ out. You've got to cut out a lot of the New Testament to do that. Or let someone rewrite it and cut it out. The people use his name, but only his name, which in turn makes you think of. Listen, you can talk Jesus, Jesus, Jesus all day long and never tell the truth who Jesus is. In fact, there's a lot of people named Jesus down through the years. And they love that name. I do too, but I love it because we're not smart enough to know what it is either. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us. And aren't you glad you got a precious book to back up? So you know it's as the Word of God. And he goes on and he said, in these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. I mean, we're in the ranks of trouble all the time, physically, emotionally, economically, in world trouble, things we face with. And he said, I'm writing you something that this resurrected Lord that's in you, if you're saved, can bring you joy in the midst of trouble. And he goes on and writes and said, This then is the measure, or is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness. Then he comes back and said, who's the child of God? If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we're liars. Folks, listen, can you not put this up with the lantern of God's word to this world and let it shine and see a lot of things that they don't even know come close to be who true and living God is? This book brings light out into the darkness. And he said, if we say that we have fellowship, why? And do not the truth. Listen, these persons not only tell the lie, but they do not the truth. And then he goes on and he says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So I see here that the resurrected life is found in Jesus Christ and him alone, because he alone is the resurrection and the life. If you look with Peter, for instance, we just said here, and John, as he's talking, and look at the time that Peter, watch this. You know, we said, last 2 weeks, I've been kind of hard on here, Peter, because I want you to see a contrast, because Peter ended up better than anybody did. I mean, and yet here, if you look at 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, remember, Peter says, now grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. Now, when he met the Lord in John chapter 1, 36 years before this, he couldn't say that. When he walked with Christ and rebuked Christ about what he was teaching, he couldn't say that. He hadn't grown in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. But as he began to grow, when the Holy Spirit came down, when he cursed and swore he didn't know the Lord, he was moving in action in a way that his physical life took him. And even though the spiritual side will show up later, that's what I tell folks. If you get saved, you've got to do more than just get saved. You've got to, and this is a command here. Peter says, hey, listen to me. I slept the night that Jesus needed me in the Garden of Gethsemane. But I'm not sleeping anymore. There's a difference, you see. He said, hey, grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, like this. This is Peter that's grown. This is Peter who now will die upside down for the Lord. He's come to a point. Isn't it wonderful to show? God is showing us, and one of his disciples he loves so much, how much we can do if we let him use our potential. That's all there is to it. And then he goes on and he says, in the Lord, Jesus Christ, to him be glory both forevermore. This was written also that we might understand a little thing about what happens with this one who is the resurrection and the life. So because he is the resurrection of life, principle number two is simply because he is that resurrection and life, we have a hope. Now when you say that, and of course Romans 8 tells us we have a hope. When you say that, you know what the world does? They automatically put that little word H-O-P-E in the physical world. Because their hope is maybe so. Their hope, I don't know why the Lord used words, but maybe sometimes he used it because he knew it messed them up and we get it. And therefore, if they want to believe a lie, believe a lie. But we look at the same word and all of a sudden we get it. He is our hope. Why? Because he's not just got, and I've said 100 times I have to, he's just not got resurrected power to raise someone from the dead. He is the resurrection and the power. Oh boy. Hallelujah. What you're talking about, I love teaching, but I enjoy studying it. Because I'll get a whole lot more studying than what I can give you in 10 or 15, 20 or 30, even an hour. We're not going to be here that long, but I'm just telling you what I'm seeing. And then because Jesus Christ alone is the resurrection of life, and because he has, because we trust him as his personal Savior, he bared our sins on the cross because he now lives forevermore, having been raised from the dead 3 days later after he died and was buried. We now have hope in him, and then in this hope we have placed our trust in him. Our whole lives can be characterized by that hope because it's in Jesus Christ. I can say to you, you know, I thank God for the hope that's in Jesus Christ. Now, when I say that, you know I'm not saying I hope I'm saved. Because on the other hand, somebody said, an unsaved person looks at it and he said, you say, oh, you say, I hope I'm saved. And you say, well, hope so, you can know so. Then all of a sudden you're talking about having a hope in Jesus Christ. They can't tell the difference. To them it's hope so. But not when you see the reality of God's word. He said, hey, this hope is real for you and I in this life. So Jesus presents a hope concerning those who died in him. And that's what he's telling Martha. The reason we have that hope, because now he says, as Lazarus died physically, and I raised him from the dead, you have died in Christ and been raised from the dead. You have been quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, and in turn be made alive unto the Lord. So when I look at this, I realize that there's a process, bearing our sins on the cross. And of course, he now lives forevermore. Having been raised from the dead 3 days later again, we have this hope. And when we see that we believe in him. Now, in John chapter 11 and verse 25, we pick that up because Jesus said unto Martha, after she had said to him, you know, if you'd been, Lord, our brother will not die. But I know in verse 22, whatever you thou would ask of God, God will give it. Folks, listen, get it in your mind. Here, Jesus is talking to Martha. And Martha said, Jesus, if you'd been here, I know he wouldn't have died. But hey, I know that whatever you asked of God, he'll do for you. See, she still thinks it's the absolute of something about him and God. Because he's got to ask God. You know what he's doing? Get this, folks. He's fixing to show her he is God. You've got him right in your midst. She thinks he has the power to raise him from the dead. That's her hope. But he's saying, you're looking at the resurrection of life. You're looking at the resurrection of life. Get this, Martha. Watch as he tells this. He said, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. But believest thou this? In other words, when death has taken away someone today we love very much, we have great sorrow for them. Sorrow is real. We miss them. We long for their fellowship. We generally grieve. Jesus himself knew what to grieve about. Because even, isn't it amazing, folks? Aren't you? Don't miss this. When you get over here at the verse 33, the shortest verse in the scripture, and when he asked them where they laid him, and they said, to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. But let me ask something. If you think the way we think, though you loved him so much to weep, if you didn't have the power to raise him from the dead, but why would you weep if you knew you're going to raise him from the dead? You ever think about that? I think about things. Why would he weep? He's God. Why would he weep? He's letting us know he knows right where we're at. You stand by a casket and look at a loved one, a little child, daughters I've seen, God knows. Barbara and I, through these years, you don't be surprised. We've seen them born right after they were born in the world. Breach dead or die a few minutes later, 11-year-old, teenager. It just amazes me when you see that and know that Jesus is saying to them, I am the resurrection. And he said, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? As she looked at him, her hope was he could do it, but he wanted to. Her hope was that he would have healed her, but he wanted her to know that what she's seeing now, that he himself has got to be seeing something other than physical. If I can raise Lazarus from the dead, I'm just speaking out of kind of head. If I can raise him from the dead, then when I talk about raising you inside, you know I can do that. When I talk about bringing a new life to you, which is the resurrected power of me that lives. When I talk about the Holy Spirit coming, living in you, and it'd be God the Father and I and the Holy Spirit living in you, because we're three, I'm talking about you've got something you didn't have before you got saved. And I want you to know I have power to raise him from the dead, and I can do what I'm going to do. I can quicken your spirit that's dead in trespasses and sin. And I can bring that new life to you so that you have this hope when you get leave this particular world. And so here we have this real thing. And so the Apostle Paul lets us understand our grief is experienced in the context of future joy and victory. You say, but preacher, when they went, by the way, if I'd asked you right now, you have a dear loved one, you know they're saved, and suddenly they had a heart attack and died, you surely would grieve over them. You'd have a hard heart if you didn't. You silly girl. But wait a minute. Let's look at this. Look at a person who's not saved, weeping over their loved ones who just died. And look at a person who is saved, weeping over their loved ones who just died. Both of them are weeping. But wait a minute. This person has no expectation to see again. The child of God has a great expectation. Then that grief, they know they're going to see him again. So it's not grief in the sense like an unsaved person. It's grief in the sense of being separated for a little while. And God brings the peace to our heart that he's going to raise us one day. We're all going to be on the other side. But that person that dies without Christ, they have no hope. And so this is what we see. And he goes, and Paul acknowledges it. If you go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18, which we read all the funerals you have, you know, about the resurrection, how the those who sleep in Christ, and of course, go read it sometime. We won't do that tonight. So go back with me, verse 25. Jesus said, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Now, I know this, he's talking a dead here too, but there is a beyond that. Because though he were dead, yet shall he live. Though one is spiritually dead, yet shall he live. How? With the same power. The resurrection of life, though he was dead, yet shall he live physically. And yet, though you're dead spiritually, so shall ye live spiritually. If you what? If you listen to the voice of the resurrection in life. Then what the Holy Spirit gives us, the power Jesus can do for us spiritually, that the world can't see. And we may not understand the time, but as you begin to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. And that's one reason I go back. If God ever showed me anything at all to understand the spiritual life, it's how I'm born physically. Being born physically didn't mean a thing to me the first 6 or 8 months up to a year. I knew very little about it. But I began to grow in academics and other things and physical and so forth. And I come where I am now, soon be 80 years old. The child of God is a new life also inside. It's a new creation. Did you know that the child of God that's been born again is a new creation in the Lord? And so he starts developing spiritually, just like we started doing it physically. And so when I see this, it's going to be spiritual also and physical if you understand what the Lord has said. So what he's letting us know, though he were dead, he shall live. In other words, death is not the final word. It does not bring cessation of being. The one who lives and believes in me shall never die. And what he's saying, physical life is one thing, but physical death is the cessation of body function, not the life itself. Amen? In other words, if I have a heart attack right here, and my body hits that floor right now, all things is doing, the body is dead. But I'm gone. I'm flying like I never flew before. I'm headed. Why? Because the life that God gives is going to be absolutely to be present with the Lord. So when he's setting forth this wonderful truth is, physical death is not the stopping of life itself. It just stops the function of the body you're in. And then we find ourselves in the presence of God. And so, Jesus did not say that if you live and believe in him, your body function will never stop. But that you will never die. That is, the real you and me in Christ Jesus will never die. Not even the second death. Lord, as a child of God, I long to be with my Father in his perfect kingdom. The environment is so different that my physical body can't even enjoy it if I was there. And I thought about it. That new body, I wonder what's going to run on. I don't believe it's going to be 98% nitrogen and 21% oxygen balanced. It don't need that. That's what our body needs. And if this earth gets a little closer to the sun, a little further from the sun, it's going to mess everything up. But the glorified body, we could pass right by that sun and not be touched by it. And anything gets with a few hundred thousand miles, I would burn up at a crisp. And another thing is, I've seen enough space shots and think Lord had a privilege to work where I worked at and work switches and the space shots and see that suit they put on. And I've got a number of those things I get out once in a while and go back to remember those days when times were really good. And I think about it, and I think to myself, boy, I would hate to have to live with God forever in a suit like that. Wouldn't you? You've seen those people walk in that bag, and here they are. Wouldn't it be something we had to live in a suit like that where we went? And they say, well, that's where the body is going to be living in. No, that glorified body, ladies and gentlemen, is not going to be a space suit. It's going to be a body. And I believe he says, fashion like unto the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We won't know how to handle that, but the new creation will operate then. So imagine trying to enjoy heaven that way. A new body designed and adapted for that environment has been prepared for me. One that will not be subjected to pain, nor weakness, or trouble, or out of balance, or aging. Boy, thank God for that. No neuropathy ever again. No pain. Sister Shute, no shoulder hurting somewhere or another. We could make a list a mile long, couldn't we? Thank God we're going to be, Brother Glenn said amen. Amen, Brother Glenn. We feel the same thing, my brother. But I'm seeing that a new body design adapted for that environment has been prepared for me. Imagine never becoming tired. Never getting hungry, but love to eat. Wouldn't that be great? Whatever's up there is going to be good food. And you know, if he could create manna for Israel and feed them for all that time, and they didn't lose no weight or nothing, and had a lot of energy. Can you imagine what heaven's like? And just eat all you want. I don't believe eating gluttony would be sin in heaven. That's my own. Somebody go out there and say I said something that's unbiblical. But what I'm trying to give you to get this, I have no desire to hang around in this body in heaven. You hear what I said? I have no desire. If God would ask me this question now, son, would you like to come on to heaven like you are? And you live forever, but you're going to have the things you have now. I've had enough of it. I've had enough, folks. I'm getting old enough now. No, I can't hardly move without hurting. And some of you are like that, aren't you? I mean, you go to sleep at night and you think you sleep good, and try to get up the next morning, you hurt so bad you can't hardly get out of bed. And you wonder why you slept all night long or part of the night. But what I'm saying to you, aren't you glad? That hope is not like the world's hope. That hope is genuine, that God is telling us when time comes to be with him, we're going to move from a place that's beyond anything you could think of. And I'm going to give you everything up. Did you know I have no other promise than this, that God says I'm going to get a glorified body? If I didn't, I'd be believing like others. How many people you know today say, well, and I said a few weeks ago, well, when you die, that's it. Then somebody says, oh, no, that's not it. When you die, you may come back like a cow. No, that's it. There's aliens out there. And so, isn't it amazing how wild things are? Aren't you glad that this is so simple, though? I just believe it. Thank you, Lord, for letting us have this study. Maybe a lot have been born, Lord. But the finality of this, we can trust you. Thank you for this book, Lord. Holy Spirit, thank you for living. I'm sure everyone in here grieves you at times, including myself. But I think about how serious it is. It would be if we didn't have you, because we couldn't understand this precious book. And the reason for that is simply that when it comes to things in life, I've learned things academically. And when I know that, there's a process. There's a 6-step process in learning, physically and spiritually. There's observation, information, interpretation, revelation, illumination, and then when all that's done, application. Everything we learn in the physical life will come from that's reason hospitals have observation rooms so they have a place to put somebody so they observe to try to find out in revelation what's wrong. When it comes to the Word of God, same way. We have this book, we've been saved, we trust Christ, and we hear the truth, and as we observe that, you give us information. I can give people information. I've done that tonight. But information has to be more than that. Someone has to interpret for them. And I'm glad we have the Holy Spirit living in us and this book of God's written by His Spirit for us. And Lord, I'm so grateful also to know that when it comes to interpretation, that's revelation, that we can learn things and grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and know those things that John said that it was written in the record of God's book that these things are true. And then when we have that revelation, God illuminate our heart. And we'll say, man, I didn't see that before. Tonight, we're rejoicing that we can understand more what Jesus said to Martha than Martha did because of the Holy Spirit of God. Then I must realize, after I get through all the first five, the last one I must apply it. God won't apply it for me. I have to apply it. Have you to help me apply it, Lord, and make it applicable in my life. Because the world in this world will never see it. What those six steps can do for me in this world academically and spiritually, physically and spiritually. They'll never see what you do for us unless they see it in the application. And so whatever we learn has to be applied. And Father, if it's not applied, then our walk don't back our talk. So help us understand these things for your glory. And may we say, even as, may we understand it for your glory. In turn, like Jesus said about Lazarus, he's dead. And I'm glad I didn't go because of you. In turn, so you can see, I have the power to raise him from the dead. I don't just have the power to heal him. I have the power to raise him from the dead. And he called him forth by name. And Lazarus came up out of that tomb, been dead 4 days. And then he's setting forth that reason for that is not because I have the power to raise someone from the dead. Because I am, even I am, the resurrection and life. What I've said to you I can do if you trust me as your Savior. Believe the record that God gave of his Son. I can give you that same life spiritually that not only lives like the life in the body, but in the glorified body, live forever one day. What an amazing thing. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.